All right. Humans Grappling Podcast with Rudy Plaza, round two. We had the professional here to adjust the mics and all that, so that's good. How did you get started with jiu-jitsu?
So back, we'll start when I moved to Vegas. Sure.
All right.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
I was 17 years old, coming through a hard situation, a lot of mental health problems, depression, anxiety, social anxiety. Like, I couldn't even leave the house for the most part. Overweight, a lot of stuff like that going on. And, you know, for a couple years, then my sister's ex-husband saw me in that case, like, in that situation, and he decided, like, fuck it, you're going to go train with me. We're doing jiu-jitsu. So he took me to Cobra Kai. First day, got my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Like, you know how it is.
Right.
First day of the first 6 months, and something about it I just liked. I felt some kind of feeling of camaraderie, something I never quite experienced, and I was just kind of hooked. That's pretty much the start, man.
Right. That's, I mean, yeah, it's a very different thing, like, where it checks so many, like, I have all these sayings now where it's like, it checks so many boxes, and I have, like, whatever, this list of boxes that it checks, and it's like, it's the most, like, I mean, besides, like, CrossFit, it's like a social workout. Mm-hmm. It's like, you get to, like, actually know the people that you're training with. So I'm sure that, like, it definitely brought the, whatever, I'm an introvert, obviously, and it's like, I program all day, but, like, I get to, like, meet new people through it. So I can see how it's, like, it really helps you out of that, mm-hmm. that place you're in. So that's cool. So I guess, how did you end up in 10th Planet?
All right. So, yeah, that's a whole thing. Right. So, there was a point where, like, I was going to college full time.
Uh-huh.
I had a shitty job. Sure. This is back before I got my good job.
Sure.
But the issue with the good job is I didn't have time to train.
I see. Yeah.
You know, like, the gym I was at didn't offer 6 a.m. and I was leaving, like, for work around, actually, 6 a.m.
Mm.
Get home probably around, like, 8 or 9 p.m.
Oh, damn.
Stuff like that. Yeah. And just, there's no one that has a schedule, like, no midnight classes, no 4 a.m. Sure, classes, right. Whatever, you know, which would be great. Like, yeah. That'd be awesome.
Uh-huh.
So I just did it until I was able to get my work schedule changed, and it's like 6 years later.
Oh, wow.
6 years. So I started my job July 2012.
Yeah.
As an electronics technician, repairing stuff for the defense contractor.
Oh, okay.
So 6 years later, I finally got it changed because I was itching for that long. I tried all sorts of things, rock climbing, just normal working out, powerlifting, and it just never filled that void that jiu-jitsu left.
Yeah.
So finally, when I got that change made, I had to wake up every day at 3 a.m., go to work around 4 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And I just moved downtown, and I've been there for a few years now, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to just get back into it.
Yeah.
My body's a lot different. I'm a lot older, you know. I'm not like a 20-year-old kid that could eat, like, 2 spicy chickens and smoke a half pack of cigarettes and go train. So, I just Googled whatever's nearest gym, and I found the downtown location. And I showed up one Monday, November 2018, for the 11 a.m.
Oh, okay.
And that I took Bendy's class.
Oh, nice.
And I had that feeling on my first day back. You know, I was,
yeah.
When I left, I was about to get my blue belt. I was like set. Sim was like so stoked. He's like, dude, you're about to get your blue belt. You know, just keep going, keep going. And I just couldn't.
Yeah.
So, I had that same exact feeling my first day back. And it was amazing. Like, Arthur, you know, Arthur, Flamingo. Yeah, French Flamingo. Yeah, he tore me up, like, destroyed me. You know, he's no schlub at all, man.
Right.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
And him and a few other people, because Benny's classes were relatively, like, just a little bit smaller, but they were all just solid dudes.
Yeah.
And that feeling just had me hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started going to Mike Wilson's 6 p.m.s and all that stuff. And, you know, that's just pretty much how I found it. It was like, I Googled, and there it is. And I'm like, here I am. So just a short little walk, and then...
That's awesome.
Be happy.
So it was just location, location, location for
That's
you.
Precisely it, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's... Yeah, and whereas I'm like... I started downtown too. Mm-hmm. Because it was just like, I wanted to train no gi, and it was 20 minutes away. So, like, even though Cobra Kai is, yeah, like down the street for me. Mm-hmm. I started 10th Planet because more for, yeah, that, like, the no-gi aspect. But it's an easy 20 minutes. Yeah. Like, it's a super whatever. Either way, like, at 6 a.m., it's like there's nobody on the road anyway. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. What did you feel a difference between gi and no-gi, or did you feel like fish out of water in no-gi?
So I never really felt comfortable with the gi because I hated grips.
I see. Yeah.
Ever since, like, in the Cobra Kai days, I broke someone's finger because they were playing Spider Guard, and yeah, I snatched it out.
Damn.
Then their finger was sideways. It's like, all right,
right,
I don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. I don't want that to happen to me. So, yeah, then I just also like the aspect of no-gi where, like, you can't just be held down, or mm-hmm. you can't just hold someone down with their clothing. You sure. have to, like, move. You have to shake. You have to get stuff going.
Yeah.
Pretty much opposite of what big guys do.
Sure.
So, yeah, that also really drew me into it. And, you know, like I said, somehow, like, when I went and came back, I fell more in love with it.
Sure.
So.
That's cool.
One of those things.
Yeah, it's the absence makes the heart grow fonder kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And not being able to do it. Because I've had, I was a blue belt for 6 years. So I've had my spans of, like, not really being able to train and, like, wanting to train and but not making the schedule work out mm-hmm. is, like, that's super critical because, yeah, 6 a.m. is, like, nobody else requires your time at that, like,
exactly.
that early. So I guess another thing is, like, yeah, like, nothing else compares to jiu-jitsu. Like, I start off weightlifting, so mm-hmm. like, I got into football, like, I was mostly, like, into football in high school. And I lifted weights. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm all down to lift weights and stuff. But since training jiu-jitsu for so long now, it's like, lifting weights is boring. there's no, like, the weights aren't trying to lift you, mm-hmm. too, right? Like, it's not trying to lift you back or do the same thing to you. It's that interaction piece where
exactly.
the magic happens.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's part of the reason why I tried rock climbing as mm-hmm. something. I mean,
right.
I enjoyed it. I loved it. But, I mean, there's just something about having that active response rather than just a static response from rock climbing. It's like, it's my... Well, I mean, with jiu-jitsu, it's still your fault if you get, like, strangled, injured, or something like that,
Sure, yeah.
But, it's something about that active response where you have a constant opponent where you're not really able to wait, able to slow down,
right.
able to take your time. You just constantly at moving some way, mentally, physically. So,
yeah, definitely. That's and I actually got injured in jiu-jitsu, for a little bit, like, I hurt my shoulder, separated my AC joint. So then I started rock climbing, like, as I was rehabbing the shoulder, and I was like, yeah, this is interesting, but it's also kind of boring, where it's like, it's you versus the wall. And, like, I can understand why, I don't know, that, like, certain programmers have, like, I don't know, 5 different hobbies where they can do that. One's, like, podcasting, and the other's rock climbing, the other's hiking and whatever, doing triathlons. Mm-hmm. So it's like, stereotypically, like, I understand why programmers like rock climbing, because it's a problem. Like, you're like, they literally call the routes problems, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, this, you have to do this specific kind of, like, whatever moves and grips and things like that. I was like, okay, yeah, it's cool, but, like, there's no interactivity there's no, like, chess game being played there. So that's cool.
It slightly translates to jiu-jitsu, but it's not enough.
You know? Yeah.
It's like I said, it's just a temporary band-aid to kind of get through that that void.
Definitely. Yeah. That's cool. And so how long have you been at 10th Planet now?
10th Planet, I started November 2018.
Okay, so four years now. Almost.
It's
yeah.
been a while.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's wild. Yeah, I've been there something like 4 years too. Because I started, I don't know the year, but I think, and we moved out here in January, like, probably January 2019, something mm-hmm. like that. So, yeah, it's been a while.
So, what hooked you onto 10th Planet outside of the no-gi aspect?
Sure.
Was there, like, an interaction you had, or?
I think it was mostly like just, yeah, wanting to know what this lake lock thing is all about. It's like, it was, that was the new thing circa 2018, 2019. And I was like, okay, like this has been a thing for a little bit now. And they were just super banned in gi. And I had trained in the gi for 6 years until that point. And, so I was like, okay, I've no idea what, like, my first, I don't know, week or two, like, Doug was straight ankle locking me, heel hooking me. I was like, I don't know what's going on, tap. Like, so it was a interesting, like, learning curve to, like, have to pay attention to the other half of my body. And just the, I don't know, I guess another technical aspect is, like, where are my grips? Like, suddenly, like, my fingers feel great because I'm not gripping anything. But also, like, it felt more like wrestling, where I wrestled in high school, and it felt like you're clamping onto the body itself, and you're finding little grips within, like, the back of the knee. Like, you're grabbing their knee tendon. And it's like, what? Nobody told you that I would know somebody's knee tendon that well or whatever. So I feel like that it was an interesting puzzle from that perspective. And then just like the community is like, we're a band of misfits. Yeah. Like, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, like everybody is like, there is no like tradition. Like, it's not traditional. We don't bow in, or we don't like whatever. There's no like real, like, yeah, there's ego in terms of like, if you compete, like you want to win or whatever, but like, everyone's like super friendly to each other. Everybody like respects each other, like no matter what belt level they are. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So what does grappling mean to you? Kind of touched on that a little bit, but
yeah, a little bit. I don't know, man. It's I think like the biggest thing I love about grappling alone is just the camaraderie that we make, the friends you make, and stuff like that. It doesn't seem like you really find, I mean, you could find these senses of community, but for some reason it just feels deeper than other like hobbies, sports, whatever you want to call it, because you have all these different people from different aspects and stuff like that.
So
I just feel like grappling means to me just more than just on the mats, you know, like just the stuff I kind of learned from the mats, the experiences I have with people, the interactions, and just how I could apply it to just the day to day, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Like it's a training for the rest of your day.
Yeah.
Like this is an example of what, like, this is how you solve this, whatever. Trying to strangle someone problem or not get strangled problem. Now you can take this and apply this to your other like problems that you have throughout the day. And yeah, you have to work with other people on those problems.
Exactly.
you're never really rolling. Like in training, you're not competing against each other or whatever. Like you're rolling with your partners. Like if you're matched up with somebody like who's a little bit lower in your skill level, you're rolling with them. Like if you're rolling with somebody at your skill level, you're trying to like, yeah, you're like, you have a more competitive role I don't know. It's never bad feelings or bad vibes. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like I just had this conversation earlier with someone too. This guy's an ex-wrestler and things like that. He's like, yeah, man, like, we'd shake hands, smile, be happy to see each other, and then try to murder each other.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Like, try to choke each other, like, twist someone how they shouldn't be twisted, and then when that buzzer goes off, it's like, oh, hugs. Oh, that was rad, man. Yeah. Thanks for trying to choke me. So,
Yeah, definitely. That's like it's a different vibe than wrestling, because like wrestling, like it's all competitive, like all the time. Cause like you're competing for your varsity spot or whatever. And there's multiple guys who like want to like, whatever. There's only so many like varsity spots that like one at each weight class. So it's by virtue of that, like kind of competitive, and that that's one way of like developing athletes. But at the same time, it's like there are no like wrestling clubs or there. I mean, there's very few. Like they're popping up here because like it's the fight capital of the world. Mm-hmm. But like that's kind of what drew me to jiu-jitsu is like I wanted to wrestle after high school. And it feels like the vibe is like people there. Most of the people don't compete. Most of the people are there to have fun. Like we're all there because we want to be there. So, and at 6 a.m., you're there because you really want to be there. Like you are organizing your entire day to like
get truly there. Dedicated.
Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. So, yeah. What, so outside of grappling, like what do you do as a thing that funds the grappling?
So, we touched that my previous life,
right.
Electronics technician for defense contractor.
Yeah.
No sleep, but, sure. I'm a photographer, videographer. So, yeah, just take photos and make videos for people and just try to right. make pretty stuff.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And yeah. you shot our wedding, which is, yeah, was which fantastic. Was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It came like, yeah, so, certain things. Yeah. Like I was like, how did I not notice that? Or you taking the picture and yeah, you were just blending in and whatever, observing candid moments. So yeah, that's awesome.
Until like a little bit later in the day, then
right.
stuff got a little crooked.
Yeah,
drink exactly. a little too much. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, we had a good time.
That's so. Great, fantastic.
Yeah. So, how did you make the switch from electronics technician to photography?
So, touch base on earlier life as sure. well. I grew up in a situation where I didn't really have much time for anything artistic,
mm-hmm.
And that came all the way up to. Like my career before photography where uh-huh. I just didn't have time to do something artistic. I just didn't feel like I had the time to like dedicate myself to painting to progress because it's one of those things you had to constantly practice and evolve.
Sure.
Then I picked up a camera and yeah. my buddy kind of inspired me because he took some really cool photos and it just something about that. And I realized like I can take a little bit of a small break from it for work or whatever and mm-hmm. still kind of retain that knowledge, the understanding and things like that mm-hmm. from that. It just right. felt natural.
Yeah.
And then I around 2019, I'm training at both gyms, going mm-hmm. back and forth, everything like that. I'm doing photos for people just for the love of it, you know, mm-hmm. like just trying to hone things. I didn't think I'd ever make it full time
mm-hmm.
until various people started like offering me like, hey, I will pay you for like this video. I'll pay you for these photos.
Right.
And I'm like, that might be my way out.
Yeah.
I think that's my way out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm just doing it. So February 2020.
Oh, wow.
I decided to quit my job.
Hell of a time to quit your job.
I didn't realize we were going to wind up right? in a pandemic. Yeah. So, quit my job. I'm like, you know, I got a good savings.
Yeah.
See what I can do. You know, just
sure.
take the risks.
Yeah.
And it's finally paying off, you know.
Yeah.
It's going very well. COVID kind of kicked my ass mm. just from not being able to get much business, but that sure. gave me the opportunity to hone it and become something better than I thought I could have been before.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's pretty much how I fell into it. Bought a camera. A few years later, people started offering money. I'm like, I like money and art, so yeah. I'm going to try to do that. Try to
gotcha.
Be an artist.
Yeah, so it came from a not being able to do it. Like earlier in life.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's interesting how that it's we do things maybe sometimes out of like rebellion or whatever,
yeah.
where what we're not allowed to do or like, I don't know, or don't have the situation, like
yeah.
the time to yeah. do it. So yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And have you always like, did you take art classes in school or anything like that? No.
YouTube University, man.
Oh,
that's,
wow.
Yeah. Well, I just have a technical degree, electronics, yeah. engineering, technology. And yeah, I think that kind of still relays over to photography because
sure.
it is more of a technical art. You know, you're literally bending light and
mm-hmm.
changing how all that operates and just trying to understand how it works and what different things do to light. And because, yeah, that's about it. So
that's interesting. Yeah. Good. Yeah. It is like, it is a, art and science. Like it's a, whatever, the interface of like, okay, like this, we're taking this, whatever, this arbitrary picture of mm-hmm. something, and does it look good? Okay, what does good yeah. mean or yeah. whatever? So I guess, yeah, what is a good photograph to you? Like what?
So how I feel like about photography.
Yeah.
One of the things that kind of stood out to me is I was reading this book by one of my photo idols. His name is David Duchemin. He just travels the world and takes photos.
Mm.
And I'm going to destroy this saying, but essentially one of the things he said was when someone sees your photograph, typically they don't think what settings he had. They usually feel something. Mm. And that's how you know it's a good photo, if it makes people feel something.
Yeah.
So like ultimately my goal with photography is always to make people feel like I could feel like I'm there.
Mm.
I feel that. Like yeah. it's I'm not trying to make something look like unrealistic or out there or anything like that. I just want to make someone feel nostalgia, mm-hmm. something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually one of my favorite compliments I get when I talk to people, like just about my work in general. They're like, I feel like I was just there. I could almost smell it. I could almost hear those sounds and things like that, where it's mm-hmm. like a multi-sensory craft.
Right. But it's, yeah, it's like, I was actually, yeah, talking to Ollie about this, is like, it makes you feel something, where mm-hmm. it's like you're tapping into something that's like relatable. Like you're relating to other people through this medium of whatever this picture that you create or the capture, and then you edit and do whatever if necessary. But mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a different way to connect with people.
Yeah.
I think
that's actually one of my favorite ways to try to connect with people is through that, because yeah. like in social situations, I mean, I'm sure you've seen me, like I'm just off to the side mm. watching, viewing, things like that.
Sure.
But with a camera in my hands, I have like that safety blanket
mm-hmm.
where for some reason I just feel like I can just interact with people and show them things and
right.
just something.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm same kind of way. It's like that's why I'm doing this podcast. It's like, yeah. I like one-on-one conversations, yeah. but not like one to many.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it gets kind of weird, because I feel like, yeah, a similar introvert kind of thing, where it's like, I don't want to take up space. I don't want to like take up, I don't want all the attention on me. I just want to sit and like listen, and I'll interject once here and there, but like where it's like, I know I have like the whatever, this particular conversation point down. But yeah, I don't know, I feel like, yeah, like you, so the, for you, your conversation starter is a camera, and where you can like or
something I've say. Like a photo yeah. I've taken, something
yeah,
I'm proud
sure.
of,
yeah,
and you know, that's a kind of a way like I kind of really interact with people I barely know, like first dates or something like that. So
sure.
I write on someone, works out, oh look at this photo I took, and then
right
yeah
yeah that's cool. And that's a, because it's a, yeah, it's a weird thing, because you can like take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a, I don't know, I can't show you my the software that I've been developing or anything
yeah.
like that, right? Like it doesn't make sense to anyone who's like outside,
mm-hmm.
but everyone can see a photograph, or anyone can like watch a cool video that
mm-hmm.
you make or whatever. So I think that's a, I don't know, the, yeah, like photographers, I guess I got like, I'm just trying to like meld the art podcast here. It was like, Ollie was like, yeah, there's like technical aspects that you can like get from music or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but, and like pros can like understand what those technical aspects are by like looking at a picture or whatever. But really it's about the normies who can like, doesn't make normal people like feel something,
yeah,
like you said. So that's cool. And so what do you like see like the crossover between jiu-jitsu and photography, since you kind of like started them at similar times?
Yeah, so, I mean they're yeah. like hand in hand. So
yeah.
I think it's the social aspect for the most part, you know,
mm.
like socializing in jiu-jitsu, socializing with photography and things like that. And it's more about like my mentality behind when I'm shooting, where like I'm, without jiu-jitsu, I probably wouldn't be calm in a lot of situations. I wouldn't be able to like be observant of different things, you know, like before I always had the horse blinders on, you know, like Casey would always yell about us or yell at us about that.
Bump into each other.
Take the blinders off. So that helps me kind of be more observant and understanding and read situations better and help kind of create a better image, or better piece of art, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. That's interesting. Cause it's you have to be more heads up. You have to be more, I mean, it's not always like, whatever, like you shoot in a studio and it's like, yeah, obviously the model is there or whatever, and you're trying to get the best angle or whatever. But I guess in there you have to like create different angles and like you have to be like, oh, if I stand on this whatever thing over here, I can get a cool, like whatever top down angle. I don't know what, but even if it's not like an open setting, you have to kind of create your different opportunities for making good art, seems like. That's cool. And do you see like an iterative improvement thing kind of too? Like that, like the more, like say like more rolls you do in jiu-jitsu, or more time you train, the better you get.
Definitely.
The more shots you take, the or more time you spend editing or whatever like that.
Yeah, it's always some kind of improvement. Like you're saying, the more roles you take, the more photos you take, there's always some kind of room for improvement. Like, look at something. Oh, I could have composed that better. I mean, they should have been more on this side or that side, more center, or like I should have made that wider or tighter or anything like that. It's just always constantly improving. Like, I should have knee cut more this way, more that way, or I should have like grabs a little bit lower on his side to kind of secure the back and whatever else. So it's just always turning back from like the small failures and using them as a way to improve from that.
Right. That's cool. What, I guess how, well, take me through, how do you improve in photography, even though like every, cause like in jiu-jitsu, we have the benefit of like going to the same positions, like constantly, like, I play half guard. I get there all the time. I know in this particular situation, I can do A, B, and C. Like with photography, you're shooting a new subject or new, maybe you could go through, I don't know. Like, what is it like? Shoot.
So personally, like with my photography, I love to do event stuff, live action, something that you cannot recreate ever again.
Gotcha.
I mean, most photos are that case, but I mean, for some reason, something special with like live entertainment, like there's someone hanging by their hair doing all this stuff and they can't recreate that exact position they were in, or like someone strangling another person and stuff like that. They can't recreate that exact look.
Sure.
I think that's the reason why, like that's how I kind of improve, by putting myself in that stressful situation to kind of force myself to get a good shot without having a chance again. So, I mean, it's almost like competition.
Sure.
I guess you can say. I mean, I don't compete much. I've only competed like a handful of times. Some successes, some failures is what it is.
Sure.
So I think it's just that constant stress that kind of makes you be in the moment and focus and just figure out what the hell you're doing.
Like you're throwing yourself into the fire and you're figuring out, or throwing yourself into the deep end, and you're like, all right, we got to swim. Like we have to figure out like what the best way to get through this. And like you shoot live shows. I see all your pictures. It comes up whatever early on my feed, so
always something coming up.
So you're constantly shooting stuff, and I think it's interesting to like you're capturing moments in time, and it's for the benefit. I mean, you get something out of it where it's like you enjoy the act of shooting it, but at the same time you're giving that person another perspective, like on themselves, or the whatever the subject is, your cat or whatever. Like he doesn't understand like what
he doesn't know what the hell's going on. He's a cat. Yeah. He just wants food. So
I think it's do you feel like what do you think people, like when you shoot for people, like what do you want them to get out of your pictures.
So I really like the aspect of it being like a small part of someone's story, just storytelling, sure. You know, because everybody has a story.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, and I just want to be a part of that, like sure. part of someone's life. And that's minuscule way that probably means the world to them. And someone else just thinks it's just a picture
sure.
or stuff like that. It's more of like that intimate feeling that you get from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And yeah, we got that from our wedding pictures is like, yeah, you captured like. We just, I don't know, I was looking over the pictures today just to prepare a little bit. I was like, yeah, you caught us on the park bench when we were like...
I love that picture too.
Yeah, super drunk. Actually, we're just yeah. like, we're that is yeah. like towards the end of the night or mid part of the day. And it was like, oh yeah, that's like, yeah, me and Lark hanging out on our wedding day. Mm-hmm. And it's just us, yeah. like looking at the water, so...
Just yeah. looking to your future.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of thing. Yeah. yeah. Actually do love that photo a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, those. So, yeah, I get what you mean where it's like, yeah, these pictures mean the world to that person. Mm-hmm. Or, and you're with your powers of observation and technical, whatever, ability to get the lighting right and whatever the settings mm-hmm. are, You provide that, yeah, that sense of like, I don't know, it's a snapshot in time, like, yeah, of duh, snapshot in time, but like a...
It's just freezing like, time in that specific moment.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like...
Time travel,
yeah, yeah. exactly. That's a good way to think about it. I like yeah. that a lot. You know, like, I'm sure when you see that picture of you and Lark sitting on that bench, you yeah. probably think like, man, that was a beautiful moment, just yeah. us. Having fun, laughing, watching seagulls go by.
Exactly.
Looking at all the drunk people.
Yeah.
Including yourselves.
Yeah, exactly. yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Cool. I guess we got into like what is that? We got into like, yeah, why is that meaningful for you? It's like, yeah, it's helping people like capture those special moments. So I guess what led you to like what sorry
it's okay
what is I'm trying to like figure out the what gave you the confidence in like because like quitting your job is super scary, right? And like how did you get like how if somebody wanted to follow in your footsteps, like, not that this is like a blueprint or anything mm-hmm. like that, but like how much work went into getting yourself to that point where you're confident enough to quit your job and you have enough gigs going and whatever to.
So I had minimal gigs.
Yeah.
I had a thing called savings in a 401k, which is right. gone now. But yeah. you know, it's honestly all thanks to jiu-jitsu. Like,
yeah.
like just, getting on the mats, that was like I had to relive that confidence of doing that first day back.
Yeah,
where I'm like scared shitless.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what to do. Sure. Just taking that dive.
Yeah,
and within like my first 2 weeks at a 10th Planet, because Casey and Mike Wilson were trading classes. Or Mike was doing like the earlier.
Uh-huh.
Casey was doing the advanced.
Sure.
And Casey, I don't know what the fuck he does, but he yeah. somehow always has this way to just inspire you to be better, to
sure.
do something else, to yeah. just do something great.
Yeah.
And one of the things that he's told me, and like I said, I'm sure you've heard him say this a million times, but yeah. it means a lot, was he said, just do your best to live life like a black belt.
Mm-hmm.
So all aspects of your life, how you carry yourself, what you do, the decisions you make, everything you do, just to kind of keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of tied in my weird brain into another thing, like, I'm working this miserable job. I'm not happy.
Sure.
I'm always walking hunched over, kind of sad, looking down. And I found a possible avenue out.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think the confidence that I kind of got from jiu-jitsu that kind of helped me get to that point
mm-hmm.
where I'm just kind of like, fuck it, man.
Yeah.
It is what it is. It's just life.
Right.
Can't take it too serious, just got to do something better and just find my way to live life sure. like a black belt yeah. until I become a black belt.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
yeah, essentially, like, I hate to say it, but like this entire career is thanks to Casey. All the stuff I've done, the people I've met, all like it's fucking wild.
Right.
But yeah, it's just the idea to live like a black belt, somehow turn into more than like fucking just quit your job and do something else. So
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense. Sure. It makes sense in up here, but yeah, sometimes it doesn't make sense to others. Yeah, whatever.
I feel like it's Casey has a way of like, I don't know. We've got. Seems like everyone has a fucking company or a side hustle, like in that gym. It's like myself included.
Yeah.
And, but also has like a real job that like actually, that whatever, pays the gym membership too. So there's, yeah, living like a black belt is like, you want to be the best, like, yeah, in all aspects. And like, he says this every week. Like, this is, you can categorize Coach Casey's stories like this is Coach Casey's story number 27 of like whatever when the time he worked at Costco and like whatever. Yeah, he has these certain stories that he comes back to or sayings or whatever, and I think it works. Like
fucking works.
Yeah
definitely.
Or it's like the repetition, just kind of like you hear it enough times, it's like, oh okay, I can start to see that in like other parts of my life.
It's almost like he's a dad or something.
It's as if he's like, yeah, parenting us, all of us, whatever, 20, 30 somethings, like running around Las Vegas, like trying to give us direction. Because, yeah, that's another thing where it's like, we're all out here like by choice. Like nobody's like from here. Like there's very few people like from here.
Native, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So we're all kind of out here. Like I don't want to say parent, like outside the influence of where we came from. So we're trying to like find our way, and it's a very like isolating town if you don't like get in with an actual social group, because like you can like go to work, drive home like in your nice because it's super spread out, like everyone has plenty of room to like have a decent place. And I don't know if it jiu-jitsu seems to be like the underlying network between everything. Like we've got people everywhere, seems like. Yeah. Like everyone, every level of Las Vegas, the Las Vegas economy runs on the backs of jiu-jitsu people.
Yeah, like it's really interesting. Like you got this really hood dude, and then you got like this cop.
Yeah,
they're training together. They're cool. Right.
Yeah,
Someone that's not the most well off, that's just being kind of helped out, trying to find some kind of way. And then you have someone that's very well off, and they're just all in the same room.
Yeah,
Democrats, Republicans, all that stuff. Just nobody talks about that, and they just have that one thing in common that brings them closer than they could be outside of the gym.
Definitely. Yeah, like if they met each other on the street, then
Who the fuck's this scumbag? Right. You know, who's this yuppie or whatever? Right. So
yeah, that's interesting. And what do you think? I guess sidebarring is like how does Coach Casey like convince people to start businesses? It feels like everyone has like a side business, and since since you felt it like and like went all in on it,
I don't know. Like it's just he has this way to make everybody feel included. Like I don't know if he like sold his soul or something, man. Like it doesn't make sense how he can just inspire people to do so much, just to be greater than who they think they are.
Yeah.
Like, make them who they really can be.
Sure.
Which is, I mean, everybody has that potential to be fantastic, and he sees it in everybody. Like he somehow finds those best abilities people have and finds a way to help make them realize that like they can do something with that, or they can be great. So
yeah,
it's a good question, man. I don't know. I don't even know how it happened. Like it's just the constant, I don't even know what you would call it, rhetoric or support or whatever. Yeah. Like it's just what Casey speaks is true shit that people need to hear.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like he'll be hard on you if he has to be, but he's also super supportive.
Right.
But that seems to be very common, like the entire gym. Like he wasn't the only person saying like, "Hey, bro, you should quit your job."
Right.
You know, like a lot of people were telling me that. Like, sure. Moy from Good Times, he was one of the main guys. Like, bro, nah, fuck that, bro, just quit your job. He's actually the first person I did a video of. So, it's just somehow it's that idea that Casey instills that people could be so great.
Yeah.
And kind of has everybody spreading that with each other.
Mm-hmm. It's a environment.
Yeah.
Like he's set up this like crazy, like perfect storm of an environment where everyone you need to know, like is bumping into each other. And it's like you're training with them.
Yeah.
And anybody you like, I've got a photographer for my wedding. I've got whatever, probably a plumber. I probably know, we know HVAC people. Like there's all kinds of people who, if you need something done, you can just like be like, hey, who's the homie who like can do the thing. So, and at the same time, it's everyone is, I feel like this is also like 10th Planet. Like it's a very like, I mean, Casey's one of the most successful 10th Planet like owners, period. And I think it's because like it's the everyone's a like not an outcast or like what I say before, I forget what the term I used, but the fuck.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're all kind of like misfits.
Misfits.
Yeah. So where it's like, oh, we're all kind of weird in our own way, but at the same time, like we're all welcome and we all kind of gel together. And, so it's interesting to like set the tone and set the environment where it's like everyone. Yeah. He does like pick out like, okay, like he can see like the maximal version of everyone and he can kind of, whether you like it or not, or if you ask him for help, like he'll like help guide you towards the direction you need to go. So, yeah, I think it's very like 10th Planet in terms of like do your own thing. But and whereas like a traditional school might be like, hey, we play this style, or like this is like it's not imposed. It's like he kind of lets it grow, kind of lets everything just kind of percolate and just kind of mix together and see what happens.
Yeah, it's a very interesting biome he's created, man.
Yeah,
it's the only way to think of it's like a biome because like I said, it's its own environment.
Yeah,
it somehow has its own weather to it.
Sure.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So, yeah,
yeah,
it's cool. Yeah, man. Sweet. So, what? Any other? Do you have like? I know jujitsu and photography, that those are two major parts of your life, but like, do you do any other art? Like you mentioned painting, like do you?
I tried.
Yeah, you tried.
Not very well. It did not go very well, man. It's one of those things. Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, those are kind of the two main aspects of my life. It's just, I mean, right now it's all work because I've been off the mat for a couple months. And,
sure.
You know, 6 a.m. is calling me. So yeah.
No worries.
Hopefully soon.
Yeah,
I'm, for sure. I'm pretty sure it's within the next few weeks I should be back. And
dope.
Yeah, because, I mean, I already told myself I need to get that brown belt in a few years.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
See what happens.
Right. You're only as young as you are once, right?
Yeah, so, exactly, man.
And that's what I kind of try to tell myself, too, is, like, it's the... Since I'm, like, also trying to be, like, competitive, I'm like, okay, I've got this small window of time. Mm-hmm. Like, I was a blue belt for 6 years. Like, I kind of fucked off in the middle, but I kind of needed to do that in order to like appreciate the time that I have now. Cause now that like when I started at 10th Planet, I was like, what, I'm 31 now, minus 4 is like 28, 27, 28. And, so I was like, okay, I only have a couple more years till my 30s. And I don't know what I thought. Well, like the day I turned 30, I would become unathletic or whatever. But I was like, okay, like I've been a blue belt for 6 years and I need to like, if I want to have an actual shot at this high level competition thing. I need to like get it done right now. So in a way it's like not getting to do it or having to focus on other things like work. It was mostly work and like other business things that went sideways. So in that time I was like, I wasn't able to train as much as I wanted to, but at the same time it was a blessing and a curse. It was like a curse because I just hated whatever. I just really disliked my time, like not training, but at the same time it made this time since I've been out in Las Vegas so much sweeter, and it's like I've appreciated it that much more.
You're giving something back to yourself with your time instead of someone else. And
exactly.
I mean, that's kind of the issue with working for companies is you don't really have that chance to give time to yourself. It's always, oh, my boss wants this. My boss's assistant wants that, whatever. Yeah. And like, I got to get this done. Deadlines, all that stuff.
Right.
And it's kind of nice to have something that directly goes back into your bank. Not financially, of course, but that mental bank you have, like you put something back in, you're always stacking up, you're improving your body, improving your mind, you're improving relationships with this as well. So,
exactly. I hate to sound like a broken record on my seventh podcast already, but it checks so many boxes, and it's like, I'm convinced it's the best thing you could possibly do. Mm-hmm. Like it's I kind of fell into it. Like I didn't intentionally start going to the 6 a.m. class because I knew it would like contain some of the best people on the face of the earth. But at the same time, it's like everyone who is crazy enough to wake up at 5 a.m. and organize their lives around waking up at 5 a.m. Because you can't just go to bed at whatever midnight and wake up at 5 consistently every day. Like you're going to burn yourself out. So like you have to reprioritize everything around this. So I go to bed at 9:10 at night, and then like wake up at 5, go get to the gym by 6, and then train with all the other crazies who show up at 6. Not that like I used to train at night a bunch, like coming up and things like at my gi school it was only night class, so I was like, okay, like this is just everyone's after work and like wants to like go kick some ass because. Like we're all like it was in the Silicon Valley, so everyone was like a programmer or something like that. Just wanted to we're working stiffs all day, and we just had to like whatever blow off some steam. Yeah. So that had its own like environment and different like feel to it, which is fine. But yeah, like that's like, I would say that's like easier to get into because it's naturally a thing after work before you go home. But 6 a.m. is like you really want to be there. Mm-hmm. And that energy of like everyone, like, yeah, it's like tired. Everyone comes in, like we drink coffee and like we're all kind of like a little bit lazy at first. But once we get warmed up and once we like get to rolling, it's like we're all like ready to go and like ready to take on the rest of our days after that. So
that is my favorite part of the 6 a.m. Because I mean, like I probably did that my blue belt days before Duell left, and I was training with you. Like it was damn near every day.
Sure.
But I like the fact that that is my most difficult part of my day. Was 6 a.m. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So that's one of the coolest things where you start your day off with the most difficult thing you can do.
Sure.
And somehow it just makes the rest of the day cake. Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly,
nothing stressful, nothing really adds to it, nothing really takes away from it. Well, a lot adds to it, but nothing takes away from having a great day.
Yeah, definitely. You got your training in for that day.
Yeah,
like that's I think that's another thing. It's like I don't know, you probably know this feeling well. It's like since we're working stiffs the rest of the day, like something can go sideways and just like, oh fuck, I have to like be up for whatever till like whatever midnight working on this thing just because that it just needs to be done. But hey, I got my training in this morning, and I don't have to like push off something for work. I'm getting this in before work. I'm prioritizing it first. It's the first thing. It's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's something that I hold near and dear to my heart. So hopefully, yeah, see you soon there.
Dude, hopefully, yeah. So there was something that stood out that you said right before this.
Sure.
About jiu-jitsu. You said this is the best thing you could do for yourself. This is the best thing you've done for yourself.
Yeah.
So like I was back to the whole Casey.
Sure.
Back to Casey.
Yeah. clip out a bunch of stuff and repost with Casey.
So he, like I said, he was one of the main reasons why my career is where it is. He introduced me to Henry Akins.
Okay. Yeah.
So
right.
And one of the things, because I mean, I travel with Henry Akins, I shoot his content, I film his stuff. So mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still training, just not physically, just mentally. I'm always thinking about it. I'm always thinking like
you're getting the reps.
Yeah, I've been like one thing I've been thinking about is like some kind of crazy Kimura when they're in guard or not guard, but they're just seated, and then you go back for back triangle and all.
Sure.
So just think about jiu-jitsu. But one of the things that Henry says at almost every one of his seminars to one of the new people,
mm-hmm.
meet someone like 4 month white belt, 5 month white belt, or even a 6 year old blue belt.
Yeah.
He says, don't stop.
Yeah.
This is going to be the best thing you could do for yourself. This will be the best thing you could do for yourself in your life. This will be like one of the most beneficial things. And it's not wrong.
Yeah.
Like without jiu-jitsu, I wouldn't have made the jump and I wouldn't be like somewhat successful as I am. I mean, I don't know if you would call it successful. I mean, I'm happier.
Yeah.
And I count that as success. Yeah, that's success to me. Like, I have enough money to not stress.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I have a pretty decent life, and it's all thanks to everything that I've gotten from jiu-jitsu, the stuff I've learned, the social skills I've created, the confidence I've gotten.
Sure.
And the friends I've made, you know.
Yeah.
Like, without people like you to support me, I wouldn't be where I'm at.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Yeah, not to quote Joe Rogan here, but I'm going to quote Joe Rogan. It's a vehicle for human development. Mm-hmm. So it's like it improves all aspects of yourself, puts you in this uncomfortable situation. Like I remember my first day, like my first day of jiu-jitsu could have been a year earlier, but I chickened out of like going into like actually going into the gym. I just thought, oh man, these guys are whatever. It's intimidating to like go into this like warehouse looking building. And like, I don't know. I was a wrestler too. Yeah. Like I had experience. Like I probably would have done pretty well, but I'm not super mad that I didn't start 1 year earlier, and that's like realistically maybe when I started was when I could actually have started, but it was, like you're choosing to thrust yourself into this new world mm-hmm. and it's uncomfortable and it makes you grow. It makes you grow in all aspects as a human.
Mm-hmm.
So. Cool, man.
Yeah.
Sweet. Anything you want to plug? Rudy Plaza Rudy Plaza Media or something like that on Instagram?
I'm switching over to something soon.
Oh, okay.
I'm planning on doing like a little documentary series of my own.
I was
previously on one, but I figured, I just pursue it on my own.
Awesome.
But, still in the early works.
Sweet.
But yeah, I don't know.
So.
I don't know. I just wanted to talk to my buddy. I haven't seen him in a while. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen you since the wedding, maybe the wedding, something like that. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, man. Awesome.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Cool. Thanks for having me, bro.
Thanks.
See you. Cool.